raised his hand in a friendly salute. Men enjoyed his company in the coffee houses. Women went into raptures over his flamboyant mustache and shivered at the doleful expression in his hooded eyes, wondering what past experience had saddened them. To celebrate his inheritance, more than 200 friends and admirers gathered in the ballroom of the seedy old hostelry that called itself the New Pickaxe Hotel. Quillerin circulated among them amiably, jingling ice cubes in a glass of ginger ale, accepting congratulations, and making frequent trips to a buffet laden with the hotel's idea of party food. He was an outstanding figure, standing out from the crowd, 6'2" and well-built, with a good head of hair graying at the temples and a luxuriant pepper-and-salt mustache that seemed to have a life of its own. Chief among his well-wishers were Polly Duncan, administrator of the Pickaxe Library, Arch Riker, publisher of the Moose County Something, and Osmond Hasselrich of Hasselrich, Bennett, and Barter, attorneys for the Klingenchain Empire. The mayor, city council members, chief of police, and superintendent of schools were there, as well as others who had played a role in Quillerin's recent life, Larry and Carol Landspeak, Dr. Halifax Goodwinter, Mildred Hanstable, Eddington Smith, Fran Brody, a list longer than the guest of honor had imagined. None of them dared to hope that this newly minted billionaire, city-born and city-bred, would continue to live in what urban politicians called a rural wasteland. None could guess what he would do next, or where he would choose to live. He had been a prize-winning journalist in several major cities before fate steered him to Moose County. How could anyone expect him to remain in Pickaxe City? Kip McDiarmid, editor of the newspaper in the adjoining county, was the first to ask the question that was on everyone's mind. "Now that you have all the money in the world, Quill, and 25 good years ahead of you, what are your plans?" When Quillerin hesitated, Arch Riker, his lifelong friend, hazarded a guess. "He's going to buy a string of newspapers and a TV network and start a media revolution." "Or buy a castle in Scotland and go in for birdwatching," Larry Landspeak contributed with tongue in cheek. "Not likely," said Polly Duncan, who had given Quillerin a bird book and binoculars in vain. "He'll buy an island in the Caribbean and write that book he's always talking about." She spoke blithely to conceal her feelings. As the chief woman in his life for the last few years, Polly would feel the keenest regret if he should leave the North Country. Quillerin chuckled at their suggestions. "Seriously," he said as he loaded his plate for the third time with canned cocktail sausages and processed cheese slices, "the last few years have been the richest in my entire life, and I mean it. Until coming here, I'd always lived in cities with a population of 2 million or more. Now I'm content to live in a town of 3,000, 400 miles north of everywhere. And yet..." "You're not living up to your potential," Polly said bravely. "I don't know about that, but I'll tell you one thing. Taking it easy is not my idea of the good life. I don't play golf. I'd rather go to jail than go fishing. Expensive cars and custom-made suits are not for me. What I do need is a goal, a worthwhile direction."
"Have you thought of getting married?" asked Moira McDiarmid.
"No," Quillerin stated vehemently.
"It wouldn't be too late to start producing heirs."
Patiently he explained, as he had done many times before, "Several years ago I discovered I'm a washout as a husband, and I might as well face the truth. As for heirs, I've established the Klingenchain Foundation to distribute my money, both while I'm alive and after I've gone. But," he stroked his mustache thoughtfully, "I'd like to get away from it all for a while and rethink my purpose in life, on top of a mountain somewhere, or on a desert island, if there are any left without tourists."
"What about your cats?" asked Carol Landspeak. "Larry and I would be glad to board them in the luxury to which they're accustomed."
"I'd take them along. The presence of a cat is conducive to meditation." "Do you like mountains?" Kip McDiarmid asked. "To tell the truth, I haven't had much experience with mountains. The Alps impressed me when my paper sent me to Switzerland on assignment, and my honeymoon was spent in the Scottish Highlands. Yes, I like the idea of altitude.